Hi, my name is Blythe Alberg, and I would like to welcome you to the Cut the Fat podcast. Visit us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. If you're new to us, we suggest that you listen to the first 3 to 5 podcasts for the basic toolbox on fat loss.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Dr. Ray Heinisch.
And I'm Blythe Alberg, and we would like to welcome you to another exciting edition of Cut the Fat Podcast.
Absolutely. Now, I have a question for you guys. How many of you guys would love to learn an exercise technique that will have you burning 3 times the fat while doubling the amount of muscle gain that you get compared to conventional exercise routines? How about if I could also throw in more than double the gains in flexibility, 2/3 greater increases in aerobic capacity, 1/3 greater increase in muscle strength, 2x the increase in muscle endurance, faster cardio conditioning, and 1/10 the muscle soreness. How does that sound?
Me.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about today on the Cut the Fat podcast. Episode what? Number 22.
22.
Yeah.
Whew, we're flying through these. I love it. And you guys are asking us to do them more frequently, so we are doing our best to make that happen.
It's tough because we do have to put a lot of preparation into these shows. So, you know, we're trying to get them out as fast as we can, guys.
Yeah, keep listening.
Keep listening.
You know, you can listen to them more than once, too. You probably catch some stuff that you didn't catch the first time.
Absolutely.
Before we get started with what you have to say, I want to quickly touch on something that we received in one of our mailboxes. I believe this one was off of Facebook.
Okay.
A gentleman named Benjamin, who just found us about a week ago, posted up actually what he's been eating so far. He's found that he can cut his carbohydrates, and he's eating every 3 hours or so, but he's really eating no carbs except half cup of rice at nighttime. I told him to listen to this podcast because I would be answering his question on here. Benjamin, the only problem I see with your nutritional program, you're eating very, very healthy. You're eating very minimally processed foods, if any. It's that you're eating your carbohydrates at nighttime. If you're going to play basketball at lunchtime and you're going to be active early in the day, eat your carbohydrates in the morning. And make sure you don't put yourself into a routine of only having, 33 grams of carbs or something is in half a cup of rice. Don't limit yourself to only 33 grams of carbohydrates every day. It's important that you fluctuate your carbohydrates. And that goes to everybody out there who is on a quote-unquote low-carb diet or a carb-cycling type of diet. Don't fall into the funk of super low carbs day after day because, you know, you feel great on lower carbs. You kind of lose your energy, though, throughout the day.
And as you do it more and more, as you go day to day of eating low carbs, eventually what happens is the thyroid actually begins to give out as far as producing thyroid hormone.
That's exactly right. And that's what I wanted to warn Benjamin about is make sure that you are fluctuating those carbohydrates. On days you know you're going to be playing basketball at lunchtime, hey, you know, have a half a cup of oatmeal in the morning. It's not going to make or break you. You know, it's going to give you that extra energy to get through the day, and it's going to keep your body using those carbohydrates rather than finding them as a foreign object.
All right. That's good advice.
Okay, cool.
Is that it?
Actually, I have another one.
All right. Go ahead.
Girl named Allie, she left a message on our discussion board. She described herself as an apple shape. She said she carries all her weight in her midsection. Mm. She's actually been listening to our podcast, and she's incorporated HIIT training and resistance training into her program. She's seen a lot of great results with her arms, her glutes, her legs, etc. But her question is, and she found this in the new Me Diet book that we suggested, is that if you lose weight, generally speaking, let's just call it weight. If you lose weight, your body is not going to change shape. You'll just be a smaller shape of, say, an apple.
Well, that's if we're talking about losing weight.
Losing weight. What she's done is trying to do the HIIT training plus the resistance training, and she is trying to lose body fat.
Right.
Okay. Now, for someone who's an apple shape, and if you've always been an apple shape, that's going to be the last place you lose it. So if you've seen results in your arms, your glutes, your legs, Allie, just keep going because the last place that you're going to lose the fat will be your abs. And they are there. You said yourself, they're there. You can feel them underneath. So just keep going. Use this, you know, all the results that you've seen everywhere else on your body as motivation for, you know, continuing the journey and losing that fat that covers your abs. We're all blessed with a little area that we hold extra fat. You know, for women, it's either your stomach or your hips, generally speaking. So just keep going, Allie. You will get there.
Right. Two things. And this goes for everybody. This is why we talk a lot about having to set up a good system for monitoring your results. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately, subcutaneous fat, which is the fat that's directly underneath the skin, is fairly insulin resistant. Insulin sensitive. So it has a tendency to respond or store fat easily when you have a lot of insulin in your system. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, because it is insulin sensitive, it has a tendency to be the last area to go.
Yeah.
So you have to basically burn the fat that's in the muscle, burn the fat that's in between the organs mm-hmm. before you'll actually see progress on the outside.
Right. And if she's seeing progress on her arms, her legs, her glutes, you're close, Allie. Don't give up now, because this is the time. You know, you're making things happen. You are seeing results. What you're doing is working. You just have to give it a little bit longer.
Stay the course, folks. Mm-hmm. You got to stay the course. Don't give up so easily on a program.
Right. She said, I've been doing this for a really long time, and I'm wondering what a really long time is. So, Allie, if you want to go back up there and post up what a really long time is, you know, maybe we can make a little tweak or a little change to your program mm-hmm. just to help kind of speed along the results, but really stay the course. It should be a lifestyle change.
Right. And if you've seen results and if you continue to see results, great, continue along the path. Now, if you stall, sometimes it's just a matter of waiting it out and just keep doing the things mm-hmm. that you've been doing. Sometimes you do have to tweak and kind of increase the intensity of the workout maybe for a period of time, maybe change the diet up a bit. We mm-hmm. talked a bit about that earlier.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. I do have one last question I want to address if we've got the time.
Okay.
Eric is another guy who posted up on our Facebook account, and he put up a question that, you know, he put it up a while back, actually. It was when we first started up our Facebook page. But it's such an important question. I thought a lot of people would benefit from listening to this. His question is, do I change my caloric intake on a daily basis depending on my activity level? I think that's a huge question. Most people will say, well, I need to eat between 1300 and 1500 calories a day, if you know that's the number you pick, and I'm going to do 30 minutes on the elliptical, and I'm going to do the same routine that I do every day, and I'm going to eat the same thing I eat every day, but I'm not seeing any results. The secret is to change it up. I mean, change up your diet. If you know you're going to be sitting at your office desk all day, have a lower calorie or a lower carbohydrate day. Saturday, if you know you're playing baseball on your, you know, your company team, have a little more food that day to fuel your body. Keep your body guessing.
Mm-hmm. And keep your body in a state of energy utilization rather
yes.
than energy storage.
That's exactly
and,
right.
So sometimes you have to throw a little fuel on board so that the body will get in there and have the energy that it needs to be able to access that those fat cells
yep.
and start the burning process, right?
Yep, exactly right. So those are the mailbox questions for the day.
And how do people leave questions on the mailbox?
Well, we have a discussion board on Facebook. So you can go to our Facebook page, Cut the Fat Podcast, all one word, no spaces in between. Or you can go to our website, www.cutthefatpodcast.com. And you can click on blog and click on forum. And we actually have a forum where you can post questions and we have like a discussion board.
Right.
But before we go on, if you click on blog, you'll see all the recipes that I put up this morning. I mm-hmm. put up a bunch of yummy recipes.
Oh,
so if you guys want to check those
out. I
didn't
know that.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. You might even want to try some.
There you have it. Also, if you guys, again, if you visit us on iTunes and signed up or subscribed to the podcast, please be sure to go on there and rate us. Give us 5 stars, if you will.
Ratings help.
If you think we deserve it.
They help us climb that ladder of success. We want to be the number one podcast in the world.
Yep. Well, unfortunately, because Blythe had all those questions to answer, we don't have time to teach you guys how to increase the rate of fat loss by 3 times this session. So we may have to wait till next time. I'm just kidding, guys. No, we're going to do it. We're going to do it.
I was giving you the evil eye from over here. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. She was giving me the evil eye, let me tell you. All right, so let's do this. All right, so what are we talking about? Well, there's a gentleman named Dr. W. Jackson Davis. Now, he wrote a book that's called The Miracle Workout. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, the book is not a very easy read, and it's not even, I think, being published anymore. I think if you're going to get it, you have to go on to Amazon.com or BarnesandNobles.com and find a used book.
Okay.
And luckily they're only like $3 or $4.
Yeah, I think
piece.
$3.98 or something like that.
Right. So you just buy it from somebody who has a kind of a used bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really got some good information in there. And we're going to kind of go through and give you the highlights of the program, because I think it's leaps and bounds above the standard conventional go into the gym for 60 minutes and just lift weights or just run on the treadmill, that kind of that style of workout. And there's good evidence to support that view.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about that.
I'm all about it.
All right. So what is this? Well, first of all, who is he? Right now, Dr. W. Jackson Davis is the professor of ecology and evolution at the University of California at Santa Cruz. And at that university, he teaches exercise physiology. He's also published over 150 scientific papers, books, reviews, and articles. And a lot of those on the subject of health and fitness. So I think, you know, he's well suited to do this kind of work. Mm-hmm. Now, he kind of spearheaded a number of research studies on this concept called integrated body conditioning.
Okay.
So what is that? All right. So there are basically seven principles of integrated body conditioning. We'll just call it IBC for now.
Sure.
If that's okay with
you. Yeah.
All right. So let's go through the seven principles. Number one, it basically uses integrated exercise. Okay. Now, what does that mean? Basically, every exercise session that you do integrates cardio, resistance, and range of motion or flexibility workouts.
Okay, so is it kind of like, and not to keep reflecting off the topic, but the new me diet book that we recommended for everybody out there, is it like a rest pause training? Is that what you're talking about?
Not exactly. It's a little bit different than the new me program, which is a great program.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Basically, what we're trying to do here is give people other options that they can kind of implement.
Yes.
Because the same thing sometimes gets a little bit difficult on the body. Because you're constantly bombarding it with the same type of exercise and activity.
That's exactly right. Keep your body guessing, like I said, right?
So this is just another kind of tool in the toolbox, if you
will.
All right, but we'll get into the specifics about this program. But I think you'll find it's different than the new me diet type of program.
Okay.
So the second principle is what they call cardio driving. Basically, it means your heart rate is going to remain elevated throughout the workout. And I'll explain how they go about doing it. It's different than circuit training. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. All right, so principle number three is body consciousness. Basically, they're not a fan of just working the same level of intensity for everybody. Basically, the body consciousness aspect of the program is they want you to kind of listen to your body during the program while you're doing an exercise session. And you kind of alter the program according to your the way you feel during the workout.
Okay.
And that brings us to the next point, which is progression. Basically, you want to push to achieve a steady growth. So each workout, and what they found is that every workout that you do, you will have a tendency to feel stronger.
Okay.
And you'll be able to take it to just a little bit more of an intense type program, or you'll be able to take it just a little bit longer of a session. But basically, you push the progression based on your perceived exertion and the perceived pain during that program
as well. Of the exercise. Okay.
Yeah. Which brings us to point number five, which is you want to minimize the pain. Basically, you monitor and manage the pain so that you improve your gains. Now, what does that mean? Well, basically, they're not fans of you have to hurt yourself to get results.
Okay. Hurting yourself meaning like lactic acid buildup?
No pain, no gain. No, lactic acid buildup is one thing. But basically what they're saying is each person, like there are some people in this world who can go into a dental office and say, "Doc, pull this tooth. And don't give me any Novocaine. Right. Just get in there and do it."
Right. Okay.
And they're fine with that. And then there's other people who have to have the dentist numb their entire face just to have a filling done, right?
Right.
Which type of person are you?
I lean towards the non-anesthetic type.
Really?
Believe it or not, yeah.
Really? I'm like, knock me out, if you will. That's my style. But you know, the point is some people, they want to get in there and they want to work a 9 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Other people are happier at a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
But if you're progressing, basically what you're doing is if you're a 5 out of 10 person, you're working out at 5 out of 10, but that may be working out at a certain weight this week, but next week a 5 out of 10 may be 2.5 to 5 pounds heavier on that particular workout.
Because you're feeling good, you're doing progressive resistance training, and you're getting stronger.
Right.
Okay.
Number 6 is balance. Obviously, when you work out, if you work the chest, you want to work the back. If you work the biceps, you want to work the triceps. Basically, you want to be strengthening the muscles in a balanced fashion. What the research is suggesting is that when you do that, you actually prevent injury. Because a lot of injuries are caused by people having an imbalance in the, for instance, the chest versus the back.
Okay.
And so the back should be able to counteract, act as kind of a counterweight to the to the chest muscle.
Okay, so if you're somebody that just likes to hammer out your biceps, you've got great biceps, they're easy for you to train. That's right. Like the default thing that you do, and say you never work your triceps.
Right. A lot of guys do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
see them in the gym. They're yeah. just doing 30 minutes
chest
worth of bicep
bicep
curls.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, so that's very important. And then 7 is a little bit unique to other workouts, and that is they push the mind-body connection. The thought process is you can't disassociate the mind from the body, mm-hmm. obviously. And you know, what you think impacts the physical nature of your body.
Yes.
So it's also important. You can't split them up, basically.
Okay. You know what? I'm a firm believer in that. And I'll touch on that as we go through these principles.
So touch on it now.
My biggest thing is focus during your workout. You know, you could really lift 2.5-pound dumbbells and do bicep curls, or you could lift 15-pound dumbbells. I think you could get the same workout with minimal amount of weight by squeezing and focusing on the muscle. So if you're just going through the motions, lifting 15-pound dumbbells and just swinging them up and dropping them down, swinging them up, dropping them down, versus the 2.5-pound where you bring it up, you flex the whole way and you squeeze at the mm-hmm. top and resist that 2.5 pounds all the way down, I think you can get a better workout with 2.5-pound weight plus focus than you can with 15 pounds with no focus.
You know, I know of one exercise program that is designed to actually promote muscle gain where you don't use any weight at all. You're literally just contracting the muscle in a mm-hmm. very slow, powerful fashion. Mm-hmm. And you're contracting, you know, if you're working the chest, you're kind of, you have your arms out, you're doing like a fly type mm-hmm. movement where you're just contracting with all your might in, and then you're doing the opposite on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's one way people can actually put on muscle mass.
Yeah. And you know, this goes hand in hand with that is when you're doing any exercise, whether you're doing standing bicep curls, why not flex your glutes? Why not flex your quads? Why not flex your calves? Keep your abs tight. When you come to the bottom of that bicep curl, flex your triceps. You know, if you're completely mind-body focused, you can get an all-over body workout, you know, doing isometrical exercises while you're working whatever particular body part you're aiming for.
Great.
Yeah.
Good info. So there are basically 3 stages to this program, to the IBC, okay? Now, this is basically someone who's kind of walking in off the street and doesn't really have much experience in the gym, I would imagine.
Okay.
All right, so the stage one is basically the cardio phase, and this lasts about 1 week to 1 month. Basically, you're just preparing your cardiovascular system, and the goal is to get up to 20 to 30 minutes of sustained moderate aerobic activity.
Okay.
All right, now that's not for fat loss. That's just preparing the body for the whole process of integrative body conditioning.
Okay, because a lot of people will walk into the gym, they haven't worked out in months, and they'll say, you know what, I want to get on a program. Guess what? You take them through resistance training, and you only get like 3 or 4 different exercises in because they can't catch their breath in between.
Right, right.
So being a trainer, that's a great tip.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And after that initial 1 week to 1 month, after you're up to about 20 to 30 minutes of sustained aerobic activity, or if you're already there, you might just go into phase 2, which is called the cardio ROM phase. This is basically where it should last about 1 week to 1 month. Basically, what you're doing during this time is you're building range of motion. So you're basically doing, after your cardio kind of warm up, you do 1 minute of cardio and then 1 minute of stretching, then 1 minute of cardio, then 1 minute of stretching. So the thought process here, and this is a tactic that kind of goes throughout this type of exercise program. The thought process here is you're getting the blood flow, you're loosening up the muscles through the aerobic activity, and you're keeping that looseness while you're doing your stretching. Mm. And what he has found is that when people do this, the first time they do it, they feel more flexible
okay.
than if you were to just kind of stretch somebody in a cold fashion.
Okay, I believe
so
that.
All you're doing is basically choosing a bunch of different flexibility exercises, and you're doing a minute of cardio, you're hopping off, let's say, the treadmill, and you're doing a stretch, you're hopping back on the treadmill, then you're doing a stretch, and so you're kind of going, you're keeping your heart rate up to mm-hmm. between 55 and 69% of your max.
Okay.
So you're basically in a cardio state while you're doing
the stretching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, I like that.
Okay.
That'll make the time pass quickly too.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I think people are having fun with this.
Yeah.
So this brings us to the next stage, which is fully integrative cardio lift. Okay. So this is kind of the bread and butter of the program. So you start with cardio warm up like you do in the previous stages. And then you alternate between cardio and resistance exercise. So you're running on the treadmill for a minute. you're getting your heart rate, and you should have a heart rate monitor on while you're doing this. You're getting your heart rate up, then you're hopping off and you're going and you're doing a leg press.
Okay.
And you do a set of leg presses, a standard weight training, resistance training set of leg presses, 8 to 12 repetitions.
Okay.
You hop off the machine, you jump onto the treadmill, and you begin again. So you get your heart rate back up.
Okay.
And then you're on that for a minute, and then you go to the next exercise. And
so you do the leg press once, and then you
do the leg press once, and then you go to the next exercise, and then you go back to the treadmill, and then you go to the next exercise. Mm. So you're really your goal here is to keep your heart rate in that range, in that moderate cardio range of between 55% and 69% of your heart rate max.
Okay.
And you know, if you guys need to know what your heart rate max is, you just go and do a search online, or if you have a heart rate monitor, usually those monitors will help you figure
that
out.
Right. You can Google your age and I think your maximum perceived heart rate, and it will come up, a little calculator.
Right. Very easy to find. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about why this type of system might be more effective than other programs.
Okay.
All right. So there are basically seven dimensions of exercise. All seven of these are impacted by this aerobic exercise, resistance training, aerobic exercise.
It's kind of like an interval training, but incorporating the resistance training. So it's kind of – it's a nice blend. I like it.
It very much is, yes. Yeah. So here are the seven dimensions of exercise. Muscle strength, muscle endurance, aerobic capacity, body flexibility, body composition, and then six is what we call energy systems training. Now, this is not a new concept, but I'm going to spend some time talking about that here in a second. But basically, in a nutshell, energy systems training is where you train all three energy systems of the body. Basically, you've got the short-term phosphagen system,
okay. The
medium-term anaerobic system, and the long-term aerobic system. We'll get into that in a second, guys, so just keep that in your mind. And then number seven is fun. The more fun you have, the more likely you are to stick with the program.
True? Yes.
Yes, absolutely. So those are the seven dimensions of exercise, and they're all impacted by this IBC training. Okay, so let's talk about this three energy system because I think it's very, very important. This is the real interesting part of this program, I think.
Okay, a golden nugget.
A golden nugget, yes. Okay, so there are three basic gears within the body. If we want to look at it like we do a car, basically there are three gears. The first gear is what we call the short-term energy system. It's called the phosphagen system. Basically, you've heard of creatine.
Mm-hmm.
Creatine is what's used during this time to kind of produce ATP, which is the energy packets of the cell. It really only lasts but a few seconds, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's why people use it for resistance training, but not necessarily for cardio, to improve cardio. Because
you mean if they're taking it as a supplement?
Right.
Okay.
Because it basically only helps you through the first few seconds, up to maybe 30 seconds worth of actual activity.
Okay.
And then what ends up happening is the body has to shift into second gear. And second gear is what we call the medium energy systems, or what we call anaerobic glycolysis. This is where your body starts using the glycogen in your muscles for fuel. Now, using this system, the body's able to maintain activity for about 30 seconds to a few minutes. This is the system that ends up producing lactic acid.
Mm, okay.
Okay, so the lactic acid is that burn you feel when you're lifting weights. And once you kind of reach that threshold, anywhere between 30 seconds and a few minutes, depending upon the level of fitness that you have, your body then shifts into a third gear, which is long-term aerobic activity. All right.
Okay.
Now, that usually kicks in after a few minutes of exercise. And basically, that's kind of the gear that you're in when you're running long distances, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these are all individual systems. But oftentimes, people don't see them as interconnected. They are very much interconnected when you're working out. For instance, you're not in just first gear. You're in first, second, and third gear all at the same time.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And the degree at which they're kind of called into action varies depending upon the intensity of your exercise.
Yes, which is why intensity is something that we mention all the time.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. And so basically, for you know, the interconnection kind of goes even beyond the fact that they're overlapped. What ends up happening is, for instance, when you kind of get through the phosphagen system and you kick into the second gear, which is that medium energy system.
The anaerobic.
You're producing lactic acid. It used to be that we thought lactic acid was just a byproduct, that like a waste that was produced during the metabolism. But we now know that lactic acid actually gets kicked into the aerobic system and is actually burned for energy in during the long term or the third gear type of exercise.
Okay. So if your workout is intense enough, mm-hmm. you'll shift into that third gear and use that lactic acid as energy.
Correct. And while you're in third gear, you're actually replenishing the first gear fuel, which is the phosphagen.
So there's
an interrelation that happens here. And when you exercise in the right way, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be building all three systems simultaneously. Mm-hmm. That's functional. You know, a lot of bodybuilders focus just on the anaerobic or the phosphagen system.
Yes.
And their muscles are big, but they're not functional.
Right. And I think that everybody can benefit from something like this, focusing on all three.
And I think that is the big golden nugget for today, which is when you're developing your exercise routine, the more you develop all three systems within one exercise routine, session. The better mm-hmm. off you're going to be, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Health, you know, the way you want your body to look as quick as the results are going to happen counts right here.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the doctor talks about how, you know, this alternating between aerobic and anaerobic activity seems to help not just improve the results, but make it less painful, mm-hmm. improve the rebuilding process after the exercise is done. Mm-hmm. Because when you're basically doing the weight training aspect of the session, you're building that lactic acid, you're building other kind of metabolic waste that builds up mm-hmm. within the muscle. And then what you're doing is you're hopping on the treadmill. And what's that doing?
Flushing it out.
Exactly.
Oh. Okay, so does the stretching then, say you're hopping off the mm-hmm. treadmill to stretch, does that have anything to do with the delayed onset muscle soreness?
Possibly. We don't exactly know why this works so well at preventing that soreness mm-hmm. after the exercise. But
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that is directly related to. I'm just going to go out on a limb. I don't know mm-hmm. that factually speaking, but I do know that when I have clients, you know, and I'll work them out fairly hard. Everybody I work wants to work hard. And at the end of their session, if we run out of time or they have to leave early and I don't have time to stretch them, they end up more sore a day or two later than had they stayed around and I stretched them.
I believe that. Mm-hmm. I believe that. And then throw on top of that, because after you're done your kind of your cardio lift, basically is what he calls that. Once you're done that, what do? You do your cardio ROM, which is your flexibility exercises. You're doing treadmill flexibility stretches, mm-hmm. treadmill stretches.
I'm going to try this.
So I've done this before, and it really does make the workout go very quickly.
Oh, sure. And you know what? This is actually, for all of you who are listening who have treadmills or ellipticals downstairs, try this one at home. You know, hop on for the first minute, do your little jog or do your walking or your elliptical. Hop off for a minute and stretch. I think it'd be fun. You know, we all kind of like to venture to a gym or go to the studio or meet with your trainer or whatever. It's very rare that people go downstairs in their basement and use the piece of machinery unless there's something that motivates them. Let this little experiment on yourself be your motivator.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, definitely give this stuff a try, guys. If you hate it, you know, toss it in the trash and move on. But
I don't think they will.
I think even if they do, you know, hopefully we're given enough different tactics and techniques that people will find something that works for them.
Yeah, something. Mm-hmm.
This is just one more of those things. I think it's really a great concept. And, you know, I think programs like the New Me Diet, their kind of rest, pause, or what's it called?
Yeah, rest, pause training.
Rest, pause training basically has the same kind of effect. Mm-hmm. It's training all of the different systems of the body.
Yeah.
So any really good fitness program is going to do that.
But, you know, you can't do that every day, all the time. You're going to have to change it up. So this is great.
Yeah. And they recommend this program be done three days a week if you're doing this program and giving your body the rest it needs to basically repair and regenerate after.
And that's a whole nother conversation.
Yes,
the rest.
It is. Maybe we have to talk about that on another podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, the study that was done, there were a couple of studies that were performed using this technique. They were actually done in athletes. They were done in soccer players, men and women soccer players at the University of California, Santa Cruz.
Okay.
And that's what's interesting to me. A lot of studies, they use unconditioned people for the research. And, you know, you see these really great results, but it's not
because
hard.
They're totally unconditioned, right?
Right. It's not hard to get results when somebody's completely, you know, out of shape.
Right.
So what's interesting is that they did this study in conditioned athletes. And a lot of people who may be listening to this may have read someplace that cardio negatively impacts muscle development, right? And he talks about this in the book, and he talks about specifically what happened in the subjects of this study. Basically, the study went on for 10 weeks on both men and women. They were two separate studies. Now, during the course of that 10 weeks where they implemented this program, the males averaged 3 pounds of muscle mass in 10 weeks, which actually is pretty good.
That is great.
And some of the subjects actually increased by 7 pounds.
Okay.
So
it's an average of 3 pounds between
right,
everybody.
An average of 3 pounds, but some people responded even better
wow.
than others. And that's
okay.
not uncommon. Everybody okay. has their own kind of capacity to build muscle. Some people build muscle much easier than others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the women, they averaged 4 pounds. Some gained up to 10 pounds of muscle while losing 10 pounds of fat. And they
wow.
showed no sign of bulking up for those women that are thinking, oh, I don't want to be
right,
you know,
right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
During that study, they did not look bulkier. They just looked fitter.
Yeah. Wow.
So what we're seeing, at least out of these studies, is that this type of exercise or cardio while you're doing your weight training does not negatively impact muscle mass.
I like that. You know, there's a lot of validity to this study because they performed it on the athletes. That's
yeah.
really, that's like a ringer for me.
And, you know, the athletes, they gave basically in the book a bunch of quotes from the athletes, and they all seem to really love this type of exercise.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm always talking about how a good weight management program achieves three goals. It improves body composition,
mm-hmm.
it improves health, and it improves performance. So how did these soccer players' performance improve? Well, the men's soccer team went from scoring 42 goals in a season before implementing this program to scoring 87 goals in a season. They went from ranking 22nd in the United States to ranking 7th after implementation
wow.
of this program.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's some very interesting findings.
Yeah.
So basically, how much time does this workout take? According to the book, the workouts basically start at about 30 minutes. If you're a beginner, you start about 30 minutes. And they go all the way up to 90 minutes for an advanced program. And then there's a maintenance phase, which is you're going to be basically lowering the intensity or lowering the quantity of work that you do in a session. But if you're trying to achieve results, you know, he states that a good workout's going to last between 30 and 90 minutes, depending upon your level.
Okay.
All right. So let's talk about...
That's reasonable. I mean,
yeah,
most
no,
people
it's reasonable.
Can... Yeah.
I mean, 90 minutes is probably going to be an athlete, somebody who's really working to improve performance. I think most people will probably do between, you know, 45, 50 minutes. And keep in mind that this is not just all resistance training. You're starting with a cardio workout.
Mm-hmm.
You're then doing resistance training with cardio. Mm-hmm. And then you're doing your flexibility training.
Right.
So I don't like resistance training workouts to go longer than 45, 50 minutes.
Right. And I say the same thing.
Yeah. We mm-hmm. talked about that in the past because of the impact that that has on the hormones that your body produces. So that's the system. So why don't we kind of go through and talk about some of the pluses and the potential minuses of such a system.
Okay.
All right. So the good is that, you know, I love the fact that the program trains all three systems.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to get results from something like that.
Right, because you're going to be building muscle. You're also going to be building endurance. You're going to be building mitochondria within
mm-hmm.
the cell, which are the organelles of the cell that burn fat.
Mm-hmm. I think it's exciting that this book actually mentions that, because a lot of books will tell you what to do, tell you what exercise to do, show you pictures, but they won't explain why.
Yeah.
I think that's important for people
yeah.
to know.
Yeah, he does a good job of that. I mean, like I say, the book is not an easy read. That may be why it's not being published right now, but the information's good.
Mm-hmm.
The it's got good scientific support for efficacy. This is done in a university setting using people that are usually difficult to get their bodies moving because they're already in pretty good shape.
Okay, yep.
We're talking young athletes.
Yeah.
Then we have... it impacts all three components of a healthy program, which I talked about. It improves
yes.
body composition, improves health, and improves performance. It doesn't require breakneck intensity. You basically work according to, you know, your own body, you know, what you like to
right.
work at. You
and
don't have to
and
work
that's
at.
What kind of keeps it fun, too.
Yeah, I think so. And that brings me to point number 5. People seem to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it goes fast. It really does. It promotes all three levels, strength, endurance, and flexibility. And it promotes balanced training. Mm-hmm. Anything else you can think about as far as it being the pluses or the good points?
Other than it's something that gets results, it's another tool mm-hmm. to add to your toolbox of, you know, different things you can do to help your body continue on this journey of being its healthiest and its fittest. No.
Okay. Very good.
How about, do we have any negative points?
What do you think would be some negative points of a program like that? I tell you some of the ones that I thought of. It may be hard to implement in a standard gym, and I have found that in the past. Because, you know, you're hot.
I thought about that when you were...
You're running on the treadmill.
Right.
And then you're hopping on a leg press. When you get up to go to the treadmill, somebody can sit down at the leg press. And then,
right. I was thinking that would have to be like a studio setting because you kind of have to have everything set up. But it's definitely something you could work at home if you have mm-hmm. like some resistance bands or you've got just a couple of dumbbells. I mean, you could do squats. You could do shoulder presses. You could do all sorts of different exercises with those little 5-pound weights or whatever you've got.
I think so. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's a very good point.
Well, you know what? I've got an idea, mm-hmm. something you could do. You could jump rope for a minute and then do your exercise. You could jump right next to that piece of equipment that you're about to use.
Right, right.
If you're in a gym setting.
You know some guy will squeeze his way past you and
not me.
why do I believe that? You would voice up, wouldn't you?
I would definitely say something. Are you kidding me?
So I think that's a major roadblock, I'd say. Unless you have your own personal gym or you've got good equipment, it might be a bit difficult to implement this to a degree, you know, where you're able to work out within that 8 to 12 repetition range, right?
I like to look at the shed a little positive light on that, though. You know, you can start using your creative juices and do a little bit of research, come up with some 3 or 4 different leg exercises and 3 or 4 upper body exercises. Do them in your basement with your treadmill or your elliptical.
That's a good point, though. If you're doing a leg press and you get up to do the aerobic activity on the mm-hmm. on the treadmill and then you come back and the leg press is taken, you know, go do lunges instead.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be the same.
Right.
You know,
but have a plan when you go in. We always come back to that.
Right.
Have a plan. Have 5 or 6 different leg exercises written down. So if something is taken, you can move on.
Right. That's good. When he starts getting up into 90-minute sessions, I think it's a bit much for the average person to be able to fit into their
busy
schedule.
Yeah, that may be something that he had to incorporate having the athletes there. You mm-hmm. know, maybe it took them a little more time as their program progressed. You know,
right.
after 10 weeks, it's probably going to be difficult to get your heart rate up. I know whenever I prepare for a competition, you know, I really have to turn up the intensity of my workouts when I hit that last week or two.
Sure.
My heart rate just won't get up.
Easy to do when you're in a competitive sport, you know.
Sure, yeah.
I think that if we're going to decrease the length of the session, which I think is quite feasible, then I think we would decrease the length of the flexibility sessions because I think it's possible to do too much stretching for a lot of people.
Mm, okay.
The point of stretching for me is to improve functional range of motion.
Yes.
You know, I used to do a lot of stretching for martial arts. You know, I used to get to the point where I could do the splits on the chairs. And I think what ended up happening was it caused too much laxity in the joint, mm-hmm. and I ended up dislocating my knee just from doing a regular, you know, side kick.
Oh, okay.
And so I think what ends up happening is when you stretch them out too much, and we've seen that in some of the latest research with flexibility. It used to be that we would say, okay, stretch before you work out. But now we know that doing that actually probably has no benefit, but it could actually increase your risk of injury.
Wow, okay.
Because you're basically stretching out the tendons and the ligaments that keep
the joint
stable.
Okay.
So now the thought process is to do some sort of active stretching or do exercises that mimic the actual movement you're going to do on the field or in the gym.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
So if you are going to minimize the time, take it out of the stretching portion.
Yeah, still do your stretching, but only to improve range of motion to the point where it's functional.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. So those are all the negative points I can think of. I think the primary thing I want people to take from this, because in the book they do give the recommendations as far as specific exercises and specific programs to follow. They give a beginners, they give an intermediate and an advanced, and then they give a maintenance.
Okay.
But even if you don't have the book handy, I want you to start trying to implement the golden nuggets within this program.
Sure.
Right? So why don't you try doing the aerobic and alternating the aerobic activity with whatever resistance training program you're doing right now.
Okay, sure. Instead I will. I'm going to try it.
Instead of resting, do the cardio.
Yeah. You know, I believe whatever we put on our podcast, I do go home and try it. And I usually give it, you know, the old college try. I tried our mini fasts and I've reached a new set point. Not that I really wanted to lose weight per se, but everybody's about mm-hmm. keeping their body fat a little bit lower. And sure. I'm 2 pounds less no matter what I do. So I'm at a new set point, 2 pounds lower than I was. And that's just by incorporating the mini fasts, you know, that we talked about in a previous podcast for about 7 weeks. I think about 7 weeks. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. So and I'm comfortable.
That's all I got on this discussion.
That was great. Can you tell me one thing about the book? How old is that book? Is it? When was it?
It's not very old. Let me look here at the copyright. Again, the name of the book is called The Miracle Workout, and the author is W. Jackson Davis, PhD. Now, they do have a website, but the website hasn't been updated, it looks like, in years. This looks like this came out in 2004.
Okay, so it's not that old.
Yeah. Not at all. And, you know, I think it's definitely still relevant, especially given the most recent research, which is really supporting this type of program, not negating it.
Right. You know, I don't think workouts ever really go out of style, different types of workouts, unless...
How about, like, the 80s aerobic?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, they
Jane
do go out of style.
Jane Fonda workout?
Okay. I love Jane Fonda, though.
Did you really?
Yeah,
did you ever see that Saturday Night Live skit where they kind of mocked the Jane Fonda aerobics videos kind of thing?
No, was it like Will Ferrell? And
No, it was a bunch of the girls on Saturday Night Live, but they were talking about, you know, they were like doing, if you do an arm curl, just do it this way. And if it's too much for you, try lifting pencils.
Oh.
You know? And then they're like, if that's too difficult, try lifting air.
You know what? I think that was just the society at that point in time. They were just trying to get people active.
Yeah, that's true.
And now, okay, there are, what came next? Taibo, right? Mm. Taibo was like the next big phenom, I think.
I'd have to think about that, but that might be. I mean, there were a few steps. Like there was Fitness TV. I remember watching that when I was a kid.
Yeah, Fit TV and like all the step aerobics and that was big. And then like Taibo. All those things worked for the time. And I think...
Yeah.
They would still work now for the people who look at us now. In the 80s, were we as obese as a nation as we are now?
No, but we were also eating a whole lot less. Like our plates were smaller, the fast food meals were smaller, restaurant meals in general were smaller. So I think we're overweight not because we didn't implement. People exercise more today than they ever have in
But is it like too
American
little too
history.
Late type of thing?
I think it's just...
Do you think they're exercising more now because they're trying to lose what they gained way back?
I think they're exercising more now because that's the primary technique that people implement in a weight loss program because they don't want to stop eating the junk that they're eating. They don't want to stop eating the quantities that they're eating.
Right.
And so they're trying to kind of overwhelm the poor diet with more activity and energy. And I think the government's partly to blame for that mentality because they always push that.
Yeah.
It's that calories in versus calories out mentality. They believe that, well, all you got to do is increase the calories out and your weight should drop. Yeah. And so people, they say, okay, well, I'm just going to exercise more.
Right. That always sounds great, right?
Right. And, you know, I think that's important. It's definitely important. But... If you're not watching your diet first, above all else, you just can't counteract a bad diet with tons of exercise. It just doesn't work.
Okay. I've got a good little phrase to leave everybody with tonight. You are what you eat. Isn't it true?
That is very true. I can even take that to the next level.
Ooh,
you're not just what you eat. You're what you eat and absorb.
Ooh, I like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the new generation of you are what you eat.
Right, that's the, you know, the you are what you eat was the Jane Fonda. You absorb is the Taibo.
So you're telling me I show my age? Is that what you're saying?
Hey, you said it. I didn't. I don't remember Jane Fonda. I just remember the pictures of the videos, but I never really remember watching her.
Yeah, you're a guy. That's why
that might have something
pictures.
To do with it. Okay, well, we're pretty much done here today. But, you know, again, guys, go on to iTunes. Rate us if you will. Check us out at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. Facebook.
Yeah, and thanks for listening, guys. Make sure you share us with your friends and family. We're all about touching as many people as we can out there. So share away.
And, of course, we leave you with the Grilled Lincolns. Check them out at www.grilledlincolns.com. Get them on iTunes and Rhapsody. Got good stuff on there. We'll see you guys next time on Cut the Fat Podcast.
Bye. A little twist of what you know is true. You're in a cloudy hole, shit don't touch you. Feel a place to pop the pussy's blue. And all the sticky things that keep me silent are the same things that make your sick world violent. Make you feel your days before.